in on them and let them make their presence known so we can get underway.
Good morning. We're live and recording in the chambers. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
We can hear you.
Very good. Okay, let's go ahead and call this meeting to order. If we could all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, if we could have roll call.
Mariano Corral, landscape architect.
Renzo Renzi.
Angel Lopez, architect.
Daniel Guerra.
Develop.
Alex Uribe from the city attorney's office.
Lourdes Cabrera, here at the chambers.
Marcus Lightfoot, here in the chambers.
And very we also good. Have our applicants are not just on Zoom, but there are also quite a few present here today. Oh. So make sure you all excellent. Raise your hand as we get all sworn in by the attorney.
Okay. So I would like to ask everybody who's going to provide testimony on Zoom, if you could please turn your cameras on and unmute yourself if you're going to be speaking. If you're on Zoom, otherwise, if you're in the chambers, please raise your right hand and please be sworn in. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Very good. I see no one on Zoom, so we're going to, I assume, proceed just with in-person comments there at the chambers. Mr. Chair, please go ahead.
All right, Lourdes, if we could call the first item. Oh.
Yes, thank you. The first item and only item this morning is PB 2025-011, applicant Alta General Painting Services, property owner Pasimo 13 Corp and Craig Pinecrest LLC, location 5959 Southwest 71st Street and 7090 Southwest 59th Place. The request is for special exception, and I'm not sure who's going to start. I believe it's going to be Mark Alvarez with a report.
Good evening, Chair and the Board. This is Mark Alvarez with the Corradino Group, standing in for planning staff. We have reviewed this project. This is a large-scale development special exception site plan review. It's for a project that is called Somi Walk. The location is basically just west of the Vox building, but it's south of 70th Street, north of 71st Street, and west of 59th Court. It's not the full block. As you can see, it's outlined in yellow. It has a small, for lack of a better word, an out parcel on the northeast corner, and then it has about half of that block. In total, it comprises just over an acre, 1.01 acres. The existing use right now is the Roadway Hotel, which is most of that L-shaped box. The tail of the box over on 59th Court is currently basically commercial offices at the moment, one story. Roadway Hotel is six stories. It has 118 rooms. I'm sorry, the Roadway is four stories. It has 118 rooms and occupies about 93,000 square feet. The future land use designation of this area is now the transit supportive district. The transit supportive development flume category. So it is now under the new downtown code, and the code, the zoning district for this is the TSDD, the Transit Supportive Development District, and the sub-district for that is the TODA, which is the Transit-Oriented Development Area. It's a sub-district of that zoning code. It is the most intensive because that area that's been mapped out as the TODA is the area intended for the most intense development, and it is the most close to the Metrorail station. You can actually see the Metrorail station in this aerial. It's just to the right of the aerial. So it is very much within walking distance. The context of this area, existing context, is already pretty well developed. To the north is the Valencia condominiums, about 300 units in there, and that is six stories. To the south, there is the Atelier preschool, which is one story. It's a very small parcel, and then of course the office building on Sunset is also, the back of it faces this, and there's also just a little further west to the south is the site for 6075 Sunset, which is now called the Edge, and that would be a 10, that's approved, and that would be a 10-story residential building. To the east is the Vox building, which is offices and student housing and the garage for the Metrorail station. It is seven stories, and to the west of this is Larkin Hospital's executive offices. On the 70th Street side, on the 71st Street side, is the Cancer Institute, and in both of those are about six stories. So the area is already pretty, the context is pretty much that it is urban, and it's becoming more of a downtown, more urbanized, based on the Transit Supportive Development District Code. All of the area around it, I didn't, as I went through north and south, to the north, it's also zoned TSDD, and it's, however, it's in the TSDA area, which is one step less intense. In other words, to the north across 70th Street. To the south, across 71st Street, the entire block there is zoned TODA, so that is also the most intense sub-district within the zoning code. To the east is the Vox building. That's county property. It really is under the Miami-Dade County our rapid transit zone, RTZ. And then to the west, the rest of the block is also zoned in the sub-district TODA. So most all around this, to the east, west, and south, is zoned for the same intensity of development. Just to the north is one step down, but it's still a fairly high intensity that would allow eight stories. So as far as compatibility, and those go hand in hand, I mean, the existing development is mostly compatible. The only thing that's much smaller scale, and it's there because it's been there for a long time, is the preschool is the La Pierre across the street on 71st Street. The rest is actually going to be, is either or is going to be in the 6 to 10 story range. This building at this level of intensity does exactly what we intended for it to do, or what we intended to have for the TODA sub-district of the Transit Supportive Development District. We wanted in the area that's a short walk to the Metrorail to be the most intense area to provide the people, the number of people and the amount of residential density to populate the area, to have people be able to walk to the Metrorail, to have people be able to walk to work, to have people be able to go to Metrorail to go to work in downtown Miami, and create that kind of a synergy in the downtown. So we also support the existing businesses, the existing retail and eateries and entertainment in the district. So we try to balance it so we have both a nighttime and a daytime population. So this is, as far as compatibility, it works well with what's already around it. It works well with what will be around it. And it is what we intended for this sub-district of the downtown. Consistency with the TSDD, and again, I already really spoke about that, but it is consistent with the TSDD as far as the intensity. The TSDD has three basic uses. One is a mixed use, and then the other is commercial, which could be an office building with retail, or an office building, or multifamily residential. Those are the three basic uses that are intended for the entire downtown area, and particularly for the TODA, which is the sort of darker magenta area that you see on the map. The yellow outline is the site of the subject that we're talking about today. So what's currently allowed as far as density is 150 units an acre as of right. However, with bonuses, and this application is applying for bonuses, it will be allowed up to 200 units an acre. As it is proposed right now, it comes out to 171.3 units per acre. There are 173 units proposed, residential units proposed in this project. There are amenities on the ground floor, amenities on the roof, amenities on the top deck of the parking structure. And there is no, it's not a mixed use, there's no actual retail that's not intended to be supportive retail to the residential use. There are two retail cells. One is a pet salon and one is a bicycle store. Not really a bicycle store, but a bicycle repair station. Both have internal doors, although they do also have external doors. We have analyzed them for the purposes of parking as retail, but we recognize that they are actually intended to serve, to mostly serve the interior of the building, the number of people that would be in the 173 units. We analyzed this again for parking and loading. All of the loading is internal to the building. We do have some detail issues that we have to sort out where dimensions weren't supplied and turning movements weren't provided, but we will work that out as we go through the process. We have not had a development review committee meeting, and we will cover all of those things. The parking is adequate. There are two, the parking is short by two spaces. They have supplied enough parking on the second, and actually there's tandem parking on the first level. It's all accessed from 70th Street to the north. There are 12 spaces that are tandems in there, and then up on the level above that, the second and the third, or actually I should say this, the mezzanine and the second level, have the rest of the parking. And there's 173 spaces in total. There are two spaces on the street that, again, we recognize from the site plan, but they weren't marked, and it's a smaller comment that we provided to the applicant. And so it is still short by two spaces. Again, we're comfortable that that's something that we can address as we go through the process. Excuse me. In terms of street hierarchy, there was intended when the code was adopted for the downtown, the TSDD, we had identified a street hierarchy. And the street hierarchy was based on the streets that approximately go directly to the Metrorail station or are the streets that we recognize as major corridors. So 62nd Avenue, to the extent that it touches at Red Road, it's not really marked, Sunset. And then we had, you'll see that 70th Street and actually what is that? It's 59th Court are marked in blue as primary streets. So the intent in the zoning code was for primary streets to be the fronts of buildings. However, it's not a hard line. It's not something that we have to ask for any kind of deviations or any kind of variances waivers. Thank you. So we don't have to ask for waivers for that. We intended that as more of a soft recommendation for the code because we realized in a project like this where the major part of the major frontage, the long frontage, is actually on 71st Street, we find that acceptable. It would be great if it was the full block and then we would push for the 70th Street to be the front. But in this case, the south side is the frontage, it's the larger side of this parcel, and we are accepting that. Or recommend to accept that. We have a few issues with the sidewalk width. Again, these are more of design issues. This building has an arcade, and we have to sort out some of the way we require an 11-foot clear path on the sidewalk with the landscaping to the outside. We have to sort through some of the issues with how the arcade functions as a sidewalk. Again, it is in the report. We do want to call it out that we do still have to work out the sidewalk widths a little more and how they interact with the arcade. And those are the things that are highlighted on the slide. As far as open space, this was an area where we had an issue that we have to work with the applicant more. The open space is not adequate. There is private open space in this project, which is something that is called out in the downtown. However, it's not to be applied for the public open space, which would be at ground level. So 10% is required, it's at about 2%. And one of the reasons that when we went through this, we found certain areas of open space unacceptable. So if you look to the left drawing where it says ground floor open space, the left top where there's some blue lines, we have five kinds of open space in the TSDD. One of them is called linear open space. It's meant for open space that will be along a sidewalk or enhance the sidewalk with greater width or something that leads to a plaza. In this case, those areas that are shown in blue, which is the corner on the sort of, you know, again, left, top left corner of the drawing, you see a blue L, and then on the left side of the building, you see sort of a long blue line. Those are really the interior lot lines, and they would be one is already going to be between two buildings, the Larkin building on the north and the Cancer Institute on the south, and only has 5 feet. So we don't expect that to be a viable open space for people to walk and go through. It's not a paseo. We didn't request a paseo, and it wouldn't be wide enough for a paseo anyway. The L-shaped part, again, right now, that is sort of an out parcel and it's not fully developed. We can anticipate that would also be developed with something that could easily be as tall as this project, and again, that would no longer be a viable open space that would function for the public benefit. So we've removed those from the analysis, and that's where there's a difference. And when we removed those, we didn't have sufficient open space that's going with this project at ground level. So we have, we will work with the applicant again to get that open space to be at the level and the quality that we want it. And the linear open space would then have to happen on the streets, alongside the streets. And that is codified. It says in the code that the linear open space must be along a right-of-way, a public right-of-way, or a street, typically. Building height, this is a 16-story building, and it complies with the building height. It's allowed to be 204 feet tall and 16 stories, and with bonuses, this building has applied for 16 stories. The bonuses would have to be accepted by commission, and they are under the 204-foot limit. One of the things, again, is more in the details. We'll work with the applicant. I don't think this is a non-compliance issue, but they did not. There's a mezzanine floor for the garage, which can be up to 33% of the whole footprint of the building or the floor below it, let's say. And the area wasn't provided, so we think it's probably okay, but it's something, again, that we noted. We'll work with the applicant to make sure that the mezzanine level meets the criteria of the code. The building location, massing, and form, it's not something that we believe is necessarily inconsistent. However, we didn't have enough information for the vertical movement of the building and, you know, how we change the surface of the wall, how much of the wall is on the street, how it interacts with the street, and then again, above the podium, how the wall has some variation in it. We see it in the diagrams, we see it in the renderings, but we don't have the dimensions, so we were not able to fully analyze that. And again, with architectural standards, it's more an issue of information that wasn't provided. We do see, this is really about the amount of glazing. Excuse me. We have percentages based on the level, the sort of level of the building going up, that are required for the TSDD. Excuse me. And we don't have the percentages on the plans. As soon as we have those percentages, we will continue to evaluate this project. Finally, bonus allocations. This is more of a, to provide the information, that is a decision that the commission will make. The application has provided, has applied the use of all four bonuses that are required, and each bonus can provide 2 stories. On the open space bonus, some additional open space that is on the ground was applied towards the bonus, but again, we, in reviewing it, found that some of the open space was not applicable anyway, so they would not be able to apply that. The rest of the bonuses, which is for affordable housing, workforce housing, sustainability, are either they would provide it or they would pay in lieu. So we've calculated the pay in lieu amount for right now. That's what's in the report. I think it's about $8.4 million. But as the application moves forward and does some of the refinements, if, for example, they are able to acquire a LEED Platinum designation, then they wouldn't have to pay in lieu for those. Again, those are all decisions that would go to commission for them to decide if those bonuses are acceptable and if they would permit them. Once those bonuses are accepted, then the number of floors and the square footage would also, at that point, be accepted. But for right now, we're going to review the design, assuming that they would be accepted. We have not, we received a traffic, we did a traffic impact methodology analysis. It was found to be acceptable. The traffic impact study has just come to us last week, and we will be analyzing that. And the development review committee will go through all of that, as well as turning movements, as well as the interior turning movements, garbage, trash pickup, delivery, and so forth. All that will be analyzed through the DRC. And we will, of course, also provide our analysis of the traffic study, but the applicant has submitted the traffic study at this point. And finally, that's it. What I'd like to, for the committee to provide us is some of your impact, some of your input, and help us to work with the applicant and steer the direction of some of the things that we need to fine-tune. The project as a whole is, you know, we don't normally do this, but generally it's sufficient. We have some areas where we have to work through. Some of those are important. We would like your feedback as to how to move forward and what your thoughts are on some of these things to help us recommend to the applicant what those solutions might be. Thank you. And the applicant is going to step up after me.
For the record, Javier Avignon with the law firm of Bills and Sumberg, 1450 Brickell Avenue. I'm joined by members of the design team and the applicant and ownership teams. I'll be very brief because Mark did a very thorough presentation, candidly said most of the things I was going to say, so I won't repeat them. And I'll turn it over shortly to Omar Morales, who will get into the actual design of the building. But I do want to reiterate a couple of points that Mark made because I think it's important. The city went through a comprehensive review of its code and landed ultimately on the revisions that led to the TSDD and TODA designations. And I think that's important to emphasize. As Mark said, this is the area where the city decided it wanted its highest density, its highest intensity. And that's largely because it's located right next to the South Miami Transit Station, right? So in recognition of that, we have designed a project that we believe addresses the city's call for additional densification and additional intensification in this area. As Mark indicated, there are a couple of points that we will work through with design staff. I'm confident we will meet that that objective. This is still new for most folks, right? Because this is the first, I think, project really of this size and scale that is coming before the city under the new regulations. And so obviously there are some things, you know, from a form of interpretation that have a bit more meaning when there is an actual design that's brought forth before the city. So we're confident we will get there and achieve the city's goals and objectives with respect to the code. And with that, I'll just turn it over to Omar to go through the design. We're excited about this project. We're excited about you know, taking down what has been a building that is not has reached its end of life and certainly is not not desirable use at this point in the city of South Miami. So we're excited about moving forward, and we're ready to do so quickly so that we can move forward. So with that, I will let bring Omar up to go through a more thorough presentation on the design of the project. Thank you.
Excuse me, is there a reason why we can't see the chambers, or is it me? Yeah. Is all the board members able to see the chambers?
No, you can't see the chambers because we're sharing a screen right now. I can only
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Thank you, Marcus.
You're welcome, Mariano.
I wore my best suit for you, Mariano, and you can't see me.
I hope so, Omar. I got questions for you, Bubba.
morning. For the record, Omar Morales with Form Group Architects. Our office is here in South Miami and a longtime resident of the city. We're also very excited to bring this project to the city. As architects, every project for us is a major challenge, and this one was certainly one that we were very sort of drug through the mud at some levels, but also very pleased with the outcome here. Like most large-scale projects, this is sort of a Rubik's Cube of program and requirements and needs that have to come together at the end to deliver a not only beautiful but functional and a project that respects the city and responds to the city requirements. So I'm going to touch on a couple of items. The preliminary presentations were obviously very detailed and very informative. So I'm just going to touch on a few items of, related to the design of the building, and then we'll you know, gladly open up to questions from the board. One of the items, one of the issues that were brought up was the fronting of the building on the South Street, and even though it's not fronting 70th, which is sort of the hierarchical street, we felt very strongly that the south, not only the view, but also the exposure, the solar exposure, and the connection to the metro rail were really benefited by orienting the building to the south. If you're familiar with the area, the sort of promenade that's been created between the box building that leads directly to the metro rail station, we felt was a very strong sort of driving component here. So we oriented, we placed this public plaza right on that corner. So, and if you look at the way the slope of the lobby and the access into the parking garage, everything is sort of driving the pedestrian traffic towards that promenade. So we felt strongly that that connection that basically takes and extends this building footprint out to the metro rail station was sort of a key component here. The idea is to get people living in this area, preferably using fewer cars and using the metro rail station. So we felt strongly that sort of arguing against the primary street and using the secondary street, if you want to call it that, was justified in this case. So just to kind of walk you through some of the plans, the ground floor level, again, lobby and public plaza oriented on that southeast corner. We have primarily amenities on the ground floor. There's this sort of health and wellness center, a small business center for the use of the residents of the building. And then on 70th Street, there are two private amenities. These are not retail components. These are intended for use of the by the residents, but we wanted to make sure that we were providing some screening to the back of house and sort of garage entrance at ground level. So while they're not commercial, they are functioning uses that will be active by the residents of the building, and we feel, you know, help to screen that street. So the podium of the building is made up of three levels, the ground level, an intermediate garage parking level, and then the main parking level. We have 173 parking spaces. There are some issues with the count, and we'll work through all of that with staff, but the parking is adequate for the use and for the number of units. Again, this being a transit-oriented development, it's obviously, you know, one space per unit is intended to respond to, you know, the fact that the close proximity to the metro rail station will be, you know, taken advantage of by the residents. So we have the main amenities deck on level three, which is the top of the parking podium. We've oriented the pool terrace on the southwest corner, again trying to capture, while this is a very dense urban building, trying to capture as much sun exposure and open space on that southwest corner to take advantage of the sun on the pool area. a large gym, recreation area on this level, and then the rest of the footprint is made up of residential units. So then the typical tower plate, you can see it's sort of an irregular plate, again responding to the irregular shape of the property. We tried to take advantage of views and exposure with this sort of regular shape, and we think it responds well to the site. And then at the roof level, there is another recreation area, again oriented on the south bar of the building, if you want to call it that. We have a pool terrace with some outdoor recreation areas, and again, elevator access and required bathrooms and such. And the rest of the roof is mechanical equipment and services. Let's go to the signs. Let's go to the 3D. Back to the front of the 3D. The language on the exterior of the building, we tried to work with pattern and articulation. This is not a let's call it a luxury building facing the waterfront, so we didn't think continuous balconies were appropriate. So we went instead with this sort of pattern of articulated balconies and sort of a transformational series of steps in the balcony pattern. We also tried to articulate the parking podium to sort of break down the scale of the garage and create sort of varying surfaces and material quality of the garage as well. In this view, you can see that corner, again, the southeast corner, oriented towards the paseo towards the metro rail station, plays sort of a prominent role in the building. We think that that corner, obviously, you know, this is a daytime view, but at night this would be brightly lit, very attractive, very inviting. People would be connecting across that paseo to the metro rail station within quite frequently. I think that's pretty much my presentation. Welcome comments and questions. We are, again, very excited to bring this project to the city, and we look forward to working, obviously, there's some additional work to be done with staff on some of the comments that we discussed earlier, and we're here and committed to getting this project through the approval process and becoming a new addition to the city.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Would anybody from the public like to comment in chambers?
No, there's nobody in the chambers but the applicant and staff.
Anybody on Zoom that would like to raise their hand and comment? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public comment and move on to the board. Who would like to kick it off? Mariano?
Okay. First of all, Omar, let me tell you, I love your building. I mean, you've always had good taste. If I didn't like your building, you know that I would stay quiet. I would never say anything. But I like the building. I like what you did. The fact that you do not have all the balconies all surrounded completely. This is like, to me, I'm looking like a woman that has just the right touch for the eyelids. So from that aspect. But I need to for you to answer me a couple of questions, please. On the site plan, what is the width from the column of the property line where the arcade is to the edge of the curb where we have the two bulb out planters? What is the width of that sidewalk? Because I don't know.
Yeah, so on the south, are you referring to the South Street, Mariano, or
yes, where you propose? Well, it should be all the way around, but I'm proposing it on the South Street because I agree with you. I think that choosing this side as your main entrance is correct.
Good. So there are two. two dedications. That red stripe that you see on this plan that's on the screen right now is a 5-foot dedication that was required on the property. So between that 5-foot dedication and the existing sidewalk, which is, I believe, 8 feet, I believe we have about 13 feet between the dedication and the existing sidewalk.
Okay.
And by the way, I apologize, but we do have our landscape architect here is in the audience, so if there's any landscape-specific questions, he will certainly jump up and respond.
Yes, I do, but I wanted to take care first of the part of the hardscape and all. You said that you have 173 units in total. So in reality, the only size swimming pool that you really need, just to make it simple, could be you need 800 square feet. So in reality, it could be a 20 by 40 or whatever it is, could come as less than that. And you have two swimming pools. Is there a reason for them? Because I'm looking at it from the perspective that I understand that having two amenities is great, but I'm also looking at the cost. So if you only need one swimming pool to accommodate all your unit people that live here, okay, maybe you want to think about something else to be done on the other areas. Because the rooftop, having a pool up there, that's going to be very costly. And I'm not sure if that's something that the owners would want to take into consideration, you want to take into consideration, and come back with something else that could be very pleasant for the use of the people living here. So this is food for thought for you, okay, from that aspect. So in terms of the landscape now, wait a minute, there was one other item. Please remember to show the visibility triangle and all that good stuff when you make your final presentation and all that. Because there's a lot of things that I'd like to discuss with you, but at the same time, I also know that my time is limited, and I want to get just into just the landscape area, but I want to make sure. I will be concerned about how the utilities are going to come in through here, where are they going to be placed. I'm concerned about where the booster pump for the booster pump for the irrigation. You take into consideration also where you're going to put your pool equipment. If you're using level 3, it's going to be the location for your swimming pool. Consider where you're going to put your pool equipment from that aspect and the collector tank. And so let's move on then. I'll leave. I think Danny and everybody else will have some other comments. Let me move on to the landscape. I've got severe issues with this landscape, and let me tell you why. You notice how tight this site is, especially on the west side. The landscape architect is proposing to use mahogany trees all the way down on the side, on the west side of the building. Now, as we all know, mahogany trees in a 5-foot space, well, actually, in some area, you might have, you stop it because you do have a concrete walkway up in there. But a mahogany tree gets to be a damn big tree, as some of the removal that she's making. And so, to me, that's the wrong species for that area. No oak trees, no gumbo limbo, no mahogany trees belong in a 5-foot space, and then when the tree grows, it's going to be starting hitting the building. So please select the appropriate species that will fit within that space. Second thing is the calculations based on the mitigation is off, because you have three trees that are the mahogany trees, which are specimen trees. And so when you have trees that are specimen and you're removing them, you double the size of the canopy for the calculations. And I'm not sure, is it a miss or a gentleman that is a landscape architect?
Hello, Mariano, this is Devin Sejas, representing Walk Landscape Architecture. Sephora Chavarria, okay, which is a licensed landscape architect, had a personal matter, so she wasn't able to attend.
Oh,
but
so
I can answer
okay.
any questions that you may have on this.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
So I want you to take a look at that because, again, You've got to place the right tree for the right location. Omar knows I've been reprimanded many times here because I don't believe the land development code sometimes is correct. I believe in common sense. What fits the space? If you would have come back to me and said, we're putting some palms in here because of the tightness of the space, I would have said, okay, which type? And we will work with you because that's the idea. So when I look at that, all of that's got to change. When you look at the front of the building where the arcade, which is the reason I was asking Omar, what is the width of the pedestrian? And I had a conversation with one of the commissioners that, you know, you guys got to have to change this pedestrian zone to make it 15 feet wide. And the reason behind it is so you can place the appropriate size tree that can grow and also provide canopy and shade for the urban heat effect. And so perfect example is a building that is on south of 80th Street on 72nd Avenue. They place oak trees in a 10-foot wide sidewalk. They place it about 2 feet or 3 feet away from the edge of the curb. Guess what? They cut all the limbs along the entire face of the building because it was hitting it. And so now you have a tree that has one side canopy. The other side is just completely destroyed. Looks horrible.
I agree with you on those fronts, and we do our best efforts to respect the tree sizes when we do design these type of landscapes.
Yep.
If I could clarify on those two mahogany trees that are placed along 71st.
Hang on 1 second. Sure. Devin, can I get you to swear in just because?
I already swore in before.
All right, you didn't have the microphone on, so I didn't hear you. So if I could get you to turn your camera on and just. You swear?
I was here, but I'll do it again. I know, Alex, you're just picking on me.
Devin, I would never pick on you, man. We go way too far back. You're on Zoom or are you in person?
No, I'm here. I'm
in person. I'm sorry. I thought you were on Zoom. Okay, I apologize. You're good. I'm sorry. That was my mistake. Go ahead, Devin. I apologize.
Mariano, as I was stating, the mahogany trees that you're concerned about, our placement of those are strictly two located on 71st Street in the swale condition. And
no, sir. Take a look on your right side. You have seven mahogany trees all along the entire west side.
Oh, along the buffers. My apologies, and we'll definitely look into those. I thought you were talking about the streetscape, where we thought we had adequate space on those, and the remaining street trees are a smaller caliber tree, which I think are more appropriate there. But yes, you are correct. We will definitely take a look at those along the.
But
side.
I also want you to think about this, Devin. And while I love mahogany trees, but they do have one issue. They have a seed that's the size of a baseball. And when that starts to grow and those baseballs start to come down on people, you got to take that in consideration.
Absolutely.
And so I would say, listen, it's a suggestion because at the ultimate end, you are the designer. I don't want to give you what trees to use. I'm just telling you what the problems are, and then you handle it, okay?
Absolutely.
So the same thing happens with the ironwood. I happen to love ironwood. But my question is, we have a parking space there, and on the corner of those two parking spaces, there is sufficient area to leave, or maybe Omar can see what he can work out and shift a little bit more and create a larger planter for you. But I would eliminate all those trees in front of the arcade, the ironwood, make it pedestrian friendly, carry the brick pavers all the way out as well into the sidewalk so that the whole thing just reads and makes sense that it's cohesive. You take that plaza, bring that paving pattern to the street side, let them see it, let it be an important thing. That's the other thing I wanted to tell you, Omar. The fact that you put that plaza there in the corner, you're engaging that corner. You're inviting people to come in. That's one of the things I love about this. So when I look at all this, I also look for the plant materials to also complement. Now let's go to the third level. And Devin, my concern with the third level is that I think we also have 5 foot wide planters, if I'm not mistaken. Let me know, Omar, am I correct or am I incorrect?
Yes.
Yeah, those are 5 feet.
All around the perimeter.
Yes.
Okay, so you're proposing 3 sable palms on the corner. Now, those sable palms obviously are going to have approximately maybe 30 inches of root ball. But my question would be, and I'm always been concerned, if thank God it's only sable, because if one of those fronds fly down below, it's soft enough. Not like I've seen coconut palm trees being placed on the perimeter, and then you got to worry about those coconuts hitting somebody down below. So consider maybe along that perimeter of coming back with something else. And just so you know, Devin, I'm a common sense guy. I don't give a damn whether it's native or non-native. I want you to place a proper tree in there. What fits in there? What is correct? Because that's important. Okay? That's very important. The other thing is the clusia trees are perfect for an area here for the wind tunnel effect. I'm also, but I want you to consider whether the crabwood can take that. I think the crabwood can take that wind. Yes.
Yeah, it can.
Yes, it can. But, yes, and this. Everything else, I mean, I'd like to have seen the quantity of the shrubs, but I understand this is the first go around and so forth. Now let's get to the nitty gritty. You've got a lot of trees here that the specification are completely wrong, and shrubs and trees that are not native. And let's start with that. For instance, let me go down to, hang on 1 second. Okay, the ironwood is and so forth. And okay, let me just start with the shrubs because I started there. Burley Marks is not a native. Green Island Ficus is not a native. Hymelium pata compacta is not a native, but I'm going to let you get away with that because it is a cultivar from the firebush, but it's not considered a native. The Samia is a native. The Penicillium is not a native. So you're going to have to make corrections on that. The Golden Creeper is a native. So double check on from that aspect that now.
What if I may have, Mariano, we were trying to bring in a balance just to make certain that we do provide an environment that is lush and inviting. As you know, sometimes when with these natives, a lot of times they take away from that lush environment, right? They're not.
I have, David, you're preaching to the choir.
Okay, just wanted to, I want to get it out there.
I want you to create a beautiful area up there that you know that can tolerate the wind tunnel effect, because you're going to be sandwiched in between some buildings. And that sometimes we even forget about that. And you got to remember that, okay?
Sure.
You got to remember how you're going to drain these planters. Where are they going to place the drains on these?
Absolutely.
How deep are the planters? If the planters are only 24 inches high, you're going to have a problem putting sable palms out there. You got to consider also about how you're going to tie this down in the meantime into the root system, or those trees begin to expand and begin to get a hold of. So there's a lot of issues you got to think of. By the way, Omar, is this post-tensioning, or this is in terms of the construction of the structure of the garage and the building?
Yes, Mariano, this will be post-tension concrete.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about expansion joint or anything to the right?
No.
Or do we?
No, we don't.
Okay, so Devin, you have to take a second look on that. Now, when you called out for the caliber at DBH of 4 inches, and then you said you have a tree that is 12 feet high, in reality, that tree is 14 feet high. And the reason I'm telling you this, my friend, is because I want you to succeed. But one day I did this on a project because that was required by code. And I got a contractor calling me and insulting me that I did not know what the hell I was talking about. And I said, read the code, and you understand that if I don't do it this way, I cannot get approved. What I'm telling you right now, with me, I'm going to pass it, but you got to write this correctly. And by the way, the city of South Miami, we don't go DBH. We go from the ground up. So that's even better for you.
Absolutely.
But if you're going to tell me that you want 4-inch caliper tree, damn it, put it for 16-footer. I understand it, a 14-footer.
Yeah. Understood 100%, which is why we have to comply with both worlds. And for code compliance, we have we stipulate them as minimum. So as you know, that gives the contractor some wiggle room out there. But yeah, I agree.
I don't give their contractor no wiggle room. Yeah. I tell him what it has to be done, and he's going to do it, because otherwise they'll screw you, okay? I mean, that's the way I look at it. I don't trust contractors. It's got to be specific. I'm telling you right now. So Marcus Lightfoot knows about plants. So as far as I'm concerned, if you come back and you give him the right specification, he would understand it, all right? So this is food for thought for you guys. And
thank
so
you,
I'm going to stop here. But the only thing I will tell you, you're going to have to redo that landscape, take a second look at it. Be concerned about the utilities. Be concerned about where you're placing your drainage. And remember, MEP, which is one of the hardest engineers to find that is good, okay, is going to put a drain on that deck. And if you're having planters, consider how would that planter be placed so that all the planter heights are the same. Okay? And so take that into consideration, and I'll stop right here.
Thank you, Mariano, for your comments.
No, thank you, man.
Thank you, Mariano. Angel?
I generally would like to say that, as an architect, I'm impressed with the building. It's a, very, very dynamic facade. I like the placement of the balconies. I do like that you've taken consideration in the sun exposure, and location. Consider that with the location of the pool on that southwest side. On the ground level, I like that you set back the building on both the south and the east side to allow for pedestrian engagement. And I do like that you have that you also incorporated the vehicular drop-off area there on the west side. Some buildings don't incorporate that into their design, and it becomes very difficult when people are moving in and out of the building. Usually they utilize the street to park their trucks and such. So I do like that you took that space and incorporated that along with the pedestrian area. Other than that, I have no comments. I can tell that care has been taken, careful care has been taken to design this building appropriately. So that's all.
Thank you,
Angel. Renzo.
Again, coming after Mario, he's very thorough. He hit everything on the money. Especially the one thing that I love is growing up in the city. I see a lot of the restaurants and shops need the help of this type of density, so I'm fully behind it. Everything else, beautiful project, beautiful design, no comments in the negative. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will concur. I love the design. I think it's a great add to the community. And I think you've really done well with a difficult, inefficient site to create something that is very nice. I think Mariano did touch on a lot of the things that I was concerned about. The one item that I would bring up, looking at your unit mix, number of bedrooms, and the number of parking, I know that there will be some concerns. I believe this building is sustainable the way it's designed. I imagine that on some other boards, this will be a comment that'll come. But I also understand that you have the inefficiencies to deal with, and you've done a lot with what you're dealing with there. So I have no further comment, only just to be prepared for that conversation. With that, I'll ask for a motion.
One last thing, Danny, before I forget. Omar, before I forget, one of the things that you learned through the School of Hard Knocks when we did the palace in Coral Gables, Civil's going to set the elevation of that building. Make sure that the sidewalk slopes accordingly or what you need to do, because what happened was that on one corner of the building, it was flat and made and it connected fine on the corner with the sidewalk. But at the end of the building, they were off by 8 to 12 inches. So all of a sudden we said, oh my God, we gotta provide a ramp. We gotta provide some sort of steps, and we gotta be careful that people going into the arc are not gonna trip and fall. So keep that in mind, okay?
Yeah, very good comment, Mariano, thank you.
Thank you. With that, I'll ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion for approval with staff and board member comments.
Can I have a second?
Second.
First and second. Mr. Corral, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Renzi?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. Thank you very much for your presentation. Look forward to a successful project.
Thank you all very much for your time and your attention. Thank you.
With that said, we'll move on to the approval of the meeting minutes from our last, from our meeting on the October 21st. Can I have a motion?
I approve.
I wasn't there.
Did I hear a motion?
Yeah.
Motion, yes. By Lopez. Do I have a second?
Yes.
First and a second. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Passes. Our next meeting will be November 18th. Same time, same place, same station.
Same channel.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you all for your time, and I look forward to seeing you again.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Guys, good to see you all. Take care. Be careful. Bye-bye.